following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Last second Hail Marys, the band on the field, streakers. Mayhem is everywhere, especially in college football. That's why the Allstate 60 Seconds of Mayhem Sweepstakes is back. And this year, it's better than ever. Just go to allstatecfb.com and enter now. You could win a trip to the Allstate Sugar Bowl in New Orleans, where you'll kick field goals for prizes, like a chance to meet college football analyst Kirk Herbstreit, a ski boat, a custom motorcycle, a truck, and an RV, fully equipped for the ultimate mayhem road trip. January 2nd is gonna be mayhem. Will you be there? Enter now at allstatecfb.com.
No purchase necessary to enter or win. 60 Seconds of Mayhem Sweepstakes ends 11/30/12. Kick contest on 1/1/13. Instant win game ends on 1/2/13. Open to U.S. residents 18 or older. Void where prohibited. Allstate Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois. For official rules, visit allstatecfb.com.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sippel, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It is Wednesday, and that means Husker lunchtime from Cunningham. So I am looking forward today. Just journal bites right now. Just give me some journal bites.
They can hear us. They can have them up here by halfway through our show. That'd
probably
be awesome.
Probably in 5 minutes is usually what they fire up and get done. But Doug, due to Randy Bushcutter, our Husker Lunch with Sean Callahan today. He'll be here from 12 to 1. We'll also be talking with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report, and we'll be talking with Lucas Dart from the University of Nebraska at Kearney about what's going on in Loperland, plus the second annual Loper Men's Basketball Alumni Weekend is coming up. So that's all coming up on our program today. Love to hear from you. 888-455-ESPN is the number, 888-455-3776, or you can always email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. That's Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We've got plenty of baseball going on today. We've got game one getting underway here within about an hour as the Nationals take on the Cardinals. And then at 3:07, San Francisco and the Reds. And you'll be able to hear the
triple header
3 o'clock on Giants, Reds, Orioles, Yankees, and Tigers, A's. We'll have them all for you tonight here on ESPN. I'm glad the way things worked out yesterday.
No,
I'm just saying because we get four baseball
games.
There is that.
But Cueto being hurt now, don't get to use him through the NLCS, even if we get there. It's a little bit of a darker day. The Reds played well enough. Homer Bailey, outstanding performance. Crowd's all jazzed up, and he can't finish it off. And you wonder if that's the start of something. I don't know. That's negativity in me coming up. Whether it's a start of something where the Reds let this one get away, which would be a colossal collapse because they look like the best team in baseball first two games of the series.
Well, and I have nobody to root for.
Well,
Royals obviously not going to be there.
Former the Royal didn't help us out a whole lot last night, giving up the one run, and they call it unearned, but that was a base hit that brought in the winning run in the 10th inning that Broxton gave up. So Broxton only gave up three hits in that 10th inning, and that's not what you want your reliever to do, is it?
He's horrid.
He's propped up. I got to admit that he's propped up the Reds bullpen a little bit, which has been the best bullpen in baseball.
Well, go on up. Join us at Cunningham's today. We're here from 11 to 12 with the Doug and Daddy Show. From 12 to 1, you'll be able to have us with the Husker Lunch today. So that's all coming up on the program. Right now, though, it's time for our Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today. And by Garrett Tire, Tread, and Appliances. You know, you can always go online to GarrettTire.net and check out what's going on with getting a new set of tires, getting yours aligned, getting yours balanced. But, of course, don't forget the great line of appliances right there. You can check them out as well at Russell's. Well, UNK football and Lincoln University are going to play Saturday. That's in Jefferson City, Missouri. 8-hour trip is the way Google America and MapQuest have told us to get to Jefferson City. So that's coming up on Saturday. The volleyball team is at 19th-ranked Wayne State tonight for a definite challenge. And then they're home for a pair of games coming up this weekend. And Truman, who comes in on Friday, is receiving votes in the national polls. So a couple of games here, Randy, that are going to be testing the Loper volleyball team.
And they've been playing so well that yeah, it's nice to have those tests because they've been able to answer every single test. I always told my students, I said, you like a test because it proves what you know. For volleyball teams, it proves how good you are, and it pushes them down the road. So it's good to go into a hostile environment like going to Wayne tonight. That'll be a good test for them. And then obviously coming back home against a couple of teams that are okay. But, you know, you would think that UNK certainly would be the favorite in every match they have this week. But the harder competition they play, the more that helps them down the stretch and one of the toughest in one of the toughest regions in all the country. So the more good competition you can run into, the better off you're going to be, because they're going to make the playoffs. You want to be tested when you get there.
And in soccer, the Lopers trying to get some wins in conference. They've been very successful out of conference. They'll host Northwest Missouri State Thursday night at 7. Missouri Western comes in Saturday at noon with the football team on the road. But coming up next weekend, always love talking a little basketball, and the UNK Alumni Association and Athletic Department hosting the second annual Loper Men's Basketball Alumni Weekend on the 19th and 20th. And the owner of the University of Nebraska, Connor Kearney, Lucas Dart, is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk about it. Hi, Lucas.
I see you in the owner's box anyway. So.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for coming in. And exciting times. So before we get to the basketball, we've got all kinds of things going on with Loper Athletics. The volleyball team's at the top. The football team is not where they've been the last couple of years, and we've rehashed that for 6 weeks. Soccer team getting a little bit better. I know Brady's got his kids out there running around in cross country. So every sport is in a different spot right now in the fall.
They are. You know, it's been an interesting transition, and, you know, you knew there was going to be some growing pains with it. I don't think anybody predicted we'd be where we are in the football season. Kind of a perfect storm of negative things that happened, but you know, it's exciting with volleyball. I think, you know, ultimately when we have this transition in the MIAA a few years down the road, we're all going to look back and say, hey, that was a good thing we did. We've got some challenges ahead of us. A lot of them are tied to fundraising and equipping our program with the resources to compete against those schools. But yeah, at the end of it, you look at the towns, you look at the schools, you look at the competition. It's the place UNK ought to be. And so we're excited to keep talking about that message with people and asking for their help.
Lucas, I know you do a lot of work with alumni and with fundraising and that sort of thing. And actually got a chance to see you at the tailgate before the Washburn game down in Topeka. How have the alumni, how are those people that you're trying to solicit for donations, how have they received the transition into the MIAA?
A lot of excitement, Randy. You know, Kansas City area in particular, I've talked to a lot of people there who have always been excited about us returning to that conference, you know, the old CSIC. And we've been having a lot more activities down there with pregame tailgates and with football season, of course. That's easy pickings to do that. We're going to do more of those things. Locally, I think there's a buzz. I have noticed in the fundraising, some people who've not ever given before to anything UNK related have given to the Loper Fund. Our new giving program, and some others who have stepped up to the plate at a higher level maybe than they had in the past. And so that's encouraging, exciting, and we're hoping just to have more of those people who will do that.
Obviously, Lucas takes care of the fundraising. And tell, I guess, for the folks out there that aren't familiar with Lucas Dart like we are, tell them what your job is. And as soon as you put the headset down here, you're back on the road again.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I have a dual role with both the Alumni Association and with Foundation. Each is different but very important to the other. Foundation obviously being the fundraising part, and then alumni outreach. I'm actually getting ready to hit the road to go to Colorado for 3 days and do some alumni events in Colorado They're just general outreach type things to spread the word about it. We've got a top 10 university. The enrollments is 16-year high, the highest quality students we've had in years. And you got to be careful when you say that around alumni because they think they're the best. Absolutely, outreach all the time. And we've got a lot of great things to share at UNK Beyond Athletics. And there's a lot of buzz out there, and we're trying to reach more people all the time.
We were kind of talking, Doug and I, before about fundraising and that sort of thing. And one of the things that kind of came up was I went to Minnesota Duluth, watched the playoff game a few years ago. You go, and some of these universities are in St. Louis and Kansas City. They're in the MIAA. We don't have a Skyline. We don't have a lot of industrial, Kellogg's isn't in town. We don't have a lot of that. Has that made it very difficult for that fundraising that's so instrumental in making that transition into a quality conference like the MIAA?
Well, it is a challenge. I mean, we have a broad base of people who support us here in the Kearney community. Some obviously do a great deal more than others. We haven't always had the culture of asking for help at a high level, and we need to do that and kind of raise the bar a little bit. It's just been a cultural thing, and part of that comes from being a state college that we've always gotten by on less. We've done amazing things with the resources we have here, athletics and just as a general campus. So it's a cultural thing. I think there is a challenge there, Randy, with maybe some of the corporations that we don't have the larger based ones here in Kearney. Doesn't mean we're not going to stop asking them. A lot of our funds are going to come from places other than Kearney, and we need to expand our base that way. With the Loper Fund initiative, we have asked for the first time 4,000 alumni at one time for support of the athletic program and directing support back to their sport. And we've never done that before. And it might take a little while to really grab hold and be successful, but we're optimistic that approach is going to help us, in addition to a consistent plan for soliciting local support that's more predictable. And that's been something that's a frustration for some of the folks. And what am I going to hit next? Is it going to be from this sport or that sport? If they can predict that it's coming once a year, we feel as though they may be able to allocate some of their charitable support toward the university.
Talking with Lucas Dart from the University of Nebraska Kearney Alumni Foundation. Have you learned already some things from the MIAA? We talked about this on the show yesterday. Nebraska gets a new athletic director. He's going to help because he's going to have some ideas that Nebraska hasn't seen. Is it the same situation? Has UNK had a couple ideas that the MIAA said, hey, that's pretty cool, and vice versa?
I would think so. I've never was engaged with the other alumni and fundraising professionals in the RMAC. You were an island.
How much fundraising is there at New Mexico Highlands anyway?
Well, I don't know who'd give to them, but I'd be pretty loyal to do that. We have learned from those people, and we have had interactions with the alumni groups and the foundation groups in getting ideas. How can we enhance our facilities to attract more fans and give a fan experience? Tailgating in the MIAA is an entirely different ballgame. We need to learn from that here. What can we do to show our fans a game experience that adds to their value in the program, which then correlates maybe with additional support down the road? There's lots of things we could go into, but it's good to be paired with schools that are more like us than we've had in the past.
Let's talk a little bit about the event that's coming up, the basketball alumni game. This is the second annual one. You learned from last year. Talk a little bit about how this came to be, what you learned from last year, and what's on tap for this year.
Obviously, the need was pushed. It's always been there, but it was pushed by the transition to our new conference. And so started talking to some local basketball alumni last year about how can we bring people together in the name of UNK basketball, build some support, honor some people who've been important to the program in the past, and have an engagement with our basketball alumni. So last year we did the first one and raised about $40,000. We now have a Jerry Heiser endowed scholarship, and it was great to honor Coach Heiser last year for his contributions. This year, we are going to honor those UNK Athletic Hall of Famers who've made an impact on the basketball program. Some names that people know: Tim Higgins, Doug Holtmeyer, Lauren Killian, Tom Kropp, Tom Ritzdorf, Gene Armstrong, a name from the past. And then some of the people, those are some guys who played, and then some coaches and other contributors to the program, like Coach Heiser and Al Zickman as an athletic director, Dick Beechner, Don Lackey, Doc Stevenson, people like that. So we're going to do that. That's the 20th, next a week from Saturday night already. And folks can attend that. That's a public's invited. That's a $75 a meal. The proceeds from that will go to support the program. Then also, we've added this year an alumni game. We have not done an alumni game, by my count, for about 20 years here at UNK. And so we're going to have some pretty stiff competition on the court for the current undergrads. And I was just looking at the list of people who are going to play, and people out there who've watched Loper basketball within the last 10 or 15 years are going to recognize names like Dusty Jura and Chad Sheffield, Brian Dunnigan, Jake Mose, John Weber, Joey Cochran, Nick Savela, Mike Gitt, Marty Levinson. And go back a few years, the likes of Lauren Killian and Les Adelung and John Backus, and guys like Eric Mandernack and Mike Hancock, who played in the late 90s. It's going to be fun.
Well, it's going to be some great times. And again, the game is going to be at 8 o'clock next Friday the 19th at the UNK Health and Sports Center. So if you get a chance, you want to check that out. They probably quit having the alumni game because Killian and Crompton boys haven't dropped off that much in the last 20 years.
I think you're right about that.
It's fun times. Folks, you can find out more at lopers.com. There's also an address here, a web address for the Loper Fund through the Nebraska Foundation. It's nufoundation.org. And then you backslash that with Loper Fund. So nufoundation.org/Loper Fund. Should be a great weekend. Again, Lucas, kind of besides coming to the basketball game, how can the public get involved with everything that's going on next weekend?
Well, the key things are the alumni game. And by the way, that's a free admission, but we are asking for free will donations, folks who do attend. And the banquet, that's a great chance, kind of a casual atmosphere to recognize some of those people. Those are really the key things. We do have some other things that are planned basically for just the alumni, a couple of gatherings for them so they can get back together and connect with the campus. But those would be the two things. And then, of course, Doug, I appreciate you mentioning the website for the Loper Fund. I would encourage folks to check that out. And, you know, we're very grateful for all the support we've gotten in Kearney for the athletic program and for the campus in general, of course. Our community would not be what it is without the university, and our athletic program really, when things are going well, has the potential to really bring the community together. It's a rallying point, and so we're excited about what the new opportunity and the new conference brings us, and how it brings folks together.
Finally, where is going to be the banquet next week?
I'm sorry, yeah, that is at the Holiday Inn, okay. And that's a 6:30 social, 7:30 dinner. Tickets can be purchased through the Alumni Association. 865-8474 is the contact, and hope they come out. It'll be fun.
Randy, I might only be able to attend the social. I don't know if I can stay for the banquet.
That's strange. Yeah.
Weird, I know.
How many drink tickets you want?
How many you got?
Yeah, I gotta say, let's just keep some on a spindle. Yeah. Lucas, I know you got to get on the road to Colorado. Thanks for taking a few minutes to chat with us. Hope everything goes well.
Thanks, Doug.
Lucas Dart joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as part of our Loper Link on ESPN Radio, brought to you by our friends at Garrett Tire. Garrett Tire and Appliances, they're there for you at garretttire.net. 24-hour roadside service, tire mounting and balancing, and tire repair and service. And Russ Smith at Charter West National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VARD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charter West National Bank. And I know Lucas is going out to Colorado for 3 days to fundraise. It's amazing how much of the fundraising takes place on a very nice golf course.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're going to make a contact with people, you might as well make a contact with them at a golf course. Or, you know, he doesn't have a bad gig, you know, because the food spread at the alumni get together before the Washburn game that I ran into, that wasn't too bad. And that was a lot of fun. I Lopers, the people that have graduated and are alums, I would recommend going to some of those events, because I saw some guys that I hadn't seen in 10, 15 years that I got a chance to talk to again. It was really a neat environment, and it's great to have that one thing in common. And it's a whole lot more fun than Facebook, I'll tell you that. You just get together and you actually sit there and talk to them and eat some nachos and have a little cool beverage with them. It was a lot of fun.
Well, folks, don't forget, it's always going on. Check it out at lopers.com. It's our Husker Lunch, by the way, today. That's what we're doing here at Cunningham's every Wednesday. Sean Callahan will be with us. He'll be rehashing what's going on with that Ohio State game. A lot of questions about where the recruiting is, where maybe the Huskers have missed out. When you see a game like that, you have to think, did we miss out? Why are we supposedly weak at this position? That's what the thought is. We'll see what Sean has to say about that. Plus, Bob Jensen is going to join us here from Huskerland Prep. But a little bit more on recruiting today. If you're one of the Husker folks that loves to follow recruiting, come on down for Sean today. We'll look ahead at Northwestern, Michigan. Again, still nothing really special out of the Big Ten last week.
No. Nebraska still has a legitimate shot to play in the Rose Bowl. Again, they're not going to see Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. Nebraska is on a short list of teams I think that can still win it. The two Michigan schools can win the division as well as Nebraska. But I think whoever wins that division is probably going to be the favorite against whoever comes from the other side. So Nebraska still has their fate very much in their hands. And unfortunately, I feel that Nebraska is going to have to outscore all the other teams, the Northwesterns, the Michigans, and the Michigan States.
Well, here's one for you. This is what's been coming up a lot over the last couple of days since the Ohio State blowout and running the spread and all of that. People are going, yeah, let's go to the Rose Bowl. What happens if we play Oregon?
Oregon will be playing for the national championship. You're not going to have to worry about playing Oregon. I don't think. They're going to play for the national title. They're going to get past USC. They're one of the two best teams in college football, and I think there's a big step between Oregon and Alabama and everybody else. I hope they don't end up playing Oregon in the Rose Bowl, but I hope they get to the Rose Bowl.
Well, and every week the variety of sites update where they think each team's going in the bowls. Nebraska's been pitted in that Rose Bowl the last 3 weeks. Brad Edwards still has Nebraska going to the Rose Bowl, but Mark Schlabaugh changed his pickup, and he now has Michigan. And, of course, Michigan, outside of Ohio State, is the only rated team from the Big Ten. So that's where he has things going for the Big Ten.
Yeah, and you can't argue that. I really think Nebraska will be able to take care of business against Northwestern. Not at all impressed with Michigan State. I kind of thought they were better earlier in the year, and now my opinion of them is not as high as it once was. Nebraska certainly plays Michigan, and that game, to me, the winner of that game is going to be going to the Rose Bowl.
And if Nebraska doesn't go to the Rose Bowl right now, they have them pitted going to the Capital One Bowl also on New Year's Day, and the opponent at the moment would be Florida. So just something to chew on a little bit there.
Yeah, hopefully they'll go to the Rose Bowl and won't have to play Oregon, because they'd have a shot with whoever the big the Pac-12 can put out there.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report joins us from our Husker lunch here right after this.
Hey there, Colin Cowherd, host of The Herd. As you know, I've been a big fan of Vizio TVs for years now, and today, folks, I'm excited to tell you about their new line of innovative personal computers. From the sleek all-in-one PC to the razor-thin design of the thin and light Ultrabook, Vizio has the PC industry buzzing. In fact, the Vizio Thin and Light Ultrabook was just awarded 4.5 out of 5 stars from PC World. Go to Vizio.com/computing to learn more.
Hi, I'm Mike Greenberg. Think you've tried everything for your allergies? Well, Allegra works like nothing else. Only Allegra is both fast and non-drowsy, starts working in just an hour, keeps working for 24 hours to relieve your toughest symptoms like sneezing, runny nose, and itchy, watery eyes. It's effective even at 8 times high pollen levels. So remember, you can have it all with Allegra. It applies to first dose only among OTC-branded antihistamines, and controlled environment studies using pollen deemed high by the National Allergy Bureau use as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
Hey everybody, Boomer Esiason here. With my busy schedule, I drink a lot of coffee, and I always choose 8 o'clock. It comes in great flavors, like original, 100% Colombian, and my personal favorite, the dark Italian roast. Plus, it's easy to enjoy. When I brew a fresh pot, I use whole bean or ground, and now it's available in convenient K-Cup packs too. That's 8 o'clock, America's original gourmet coffee, available at your local store.
K-Cup is a trademark of Keurig Incorporated, used with permission. K-Cup packs for Keurig K-Cup brewing systems.
Friday night means exciting high school football action, and we've got you covered on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. This Friday on Classic Hits 98.9, it's a D2 Top 10 battle from Shelton as the Bulldogs welcome in their rival, the Kennesaw Blue Devils. On ESPN 1460, unbeaten Kearney Catholic takes on Chase County, plus coverage of Hastings, Adams Central, and St. Cecilia all season long. It's more high school football action coming your way this Friday.
Sunshine develops across the area today as we climb up to 68 for a high. Winds out of the southwest will also be an increase to 10 to 20. Tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head back to a low of 39. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 48.
Doug and Daddy Jones, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio's new station. Glad to have you along with us on today's program. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, our producer-engineer Jeff Babel. Here at Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch, where every Wednesday it's wing specials, 8 wings for $5. Get a variety of their sauce choices. Maybe you want to set back and get a specialty burger, a domestic draft, for only $6.49. And they have that every lunch day here at Cunningham's. Big, great menu, plenty of burgers, plenty of sandwiches, the bacon-wrapped shrimp, the skewers, the salads. It's all right here at Cunningham's Journal. And don't forget, live entertainment on the weekends, Husker football, college football, and pro football. Extended happy hours from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. on the weekends. Domestic buckets only $11 right here at Cunningham's.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Daddy Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. He's got game.
Headquarters in Central City, Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report joins us as he does every Wednesday here on the Doug and Daddy Show, getting ready for, unbelievably, the next to last week of the regular season in high school football. And there are some big games out there. Bob, this is a week we've been kind of waiting for.
Boys, yeah, it is. There's a lot of big games. There's a lot of really meaningful local games. And again, district play is it's one of the better things the NSA has ever done, because it really sets up some drama. And if there's one thing we need more of in high school, it's drama. But that's another story.
Yeah, at least with the cheerleaders, anyway. All right, let's start in Class A, Bob. North Star coming to town to take on the Bearcats. You know, Kearney getting a lot of attention. The esteem I think people have had about them has grown through the course of the year. How do you see this game, and how do you see Kearney in general, how they fit in Class A?
Well, taking them backwards, I think Kearney fits really nice in the top five. Things have become even crazier than usual in Class A, especially in the top six, seven slots. It's it's like a barn dance. Pick your partner from week to week. Kearney's been real consistent. You know, the one thing you keep going back to and pounding on is that Millard North game. Well, here's another chance to make their case on a big stage. I tell you what, I am really impressed with the job that Mark Waller, the pride of Holdridge, Nebraska, has done down there at North Star. Not only the fact that they lost Michael Minter, the kid's got Division I skills according to everybody who seems to know anything about that sort of thing, it's also how they lost him. I mean, you just don't want to see kids leave a program the way that all went down. And in spite of all that, North Star has kept his equilibrium, continue to win impressively, and of course all that is made a lot easier when you can turn around and hand the ball off to a kid like Austin Rose at running back. We got some really good juniors in Class A this year, and that Rose kid is one of them. He is an outstanding football player, and that Kearney defense, which prides itself so much on being fast and physical, will get checked out by Mr. Rose.
And for Bob Jensen, who is ranking the top 10 just like a variety of folks, only he's the smartest guy out there. Don't tell Stu. Millard North, you have number one, and you have one of the questions on the website this week, and it'll be in the publication this weekend. Is Omaha West Side number two? You put them number two. If you had to say Millard North plays who for the state championship right now, do you believe West Side is the second best team in the state, or is there a couple of teams out there that are 5-2, 4-3 that you know in your gut are better, but you just can't rank them that high?
Well, that's interesting. Now, that was a backhanded compliment if I've ever heard one. Here's what I think. I think anybody that can beat Millard South by 17 points must be fairly good. Anybody that can score 43 points on Millard South must be fairly good. Now, granted, what we did was pretty dramatic. I think we moved West Side up six spots to put them at number two, because I have a whole lot of respect for Millard South and the fact that, they played Millard North within 2 points, blah, blah, blah. There you go. Yeah, I do. I think right now, I think West Side is playing at least as good as anybody in Class A. And so I think that they're certainly legit. Am I saying that that's how it's going to turn out? Not necessarily. You guys know as good as I do, once we get going here in a couple weeks in the playoffs, there will be something squirrely happen. It very seldom stays to form. But I tell you what, while we're talking about outstanding juniors and outstanding junior running backs, like I wrote in that piece, you know, Omaha Westside on paper didn't look like they had, well, they didn't have a lot of experience coming back. They had six starters, two on defense. But what didn't get factored in was this kid named Lane Yates, who's turned out to be the leading rusher in Class A, and he's just torn it up every week. He's leading Class A, and that's not by running for 300 weeks one week and 50 another. I mean, you'd want him on your fantasy football team, dude, because you can just pencil him in for 190 yards and a couple scores. It doesn't matter who they play. And so, yeah, I like Westside a lot. I know that our friends in Kearney are kind of interested in that sort of thing, too. And, you know, Kearney's in that mix of teams that could work their way all the way through to a final. But Westside's really good. They must be really good to have done what they did to Millard South.
Well, speaking of, you got to be pretty good to do what you did. Talk a little bit about Grand Island Northwest. I mean, they're really getting a lot of attention. Their win and an impressive win against the Aurora on Friday night certainly had to open some eyes. How good are they? What kind of run can they make?
Well, I'll tell you what, Bush. So far this year, there is no game that has drawn more comment through this office from outside sources than the Northwest Aurora game last week. Let's face it, it's a long time since the 80s when Northwest owned Aurora. It's one of those things where the other night, you know, when Skip was reciting a score to me, I was still some distance away and wasn't close enough to hear the scores. It's the first time I'd heard of it. The 54, like I said, 54 surprised me. I don't think anybody expects Aurora to have 54 points scored on them. But if you've seen Northwest at all, the Rosé kid has, I can't believe anybody expected this of him. And that's not a knock on him. I'm just saying he's surely exceeded expectations, in part because he's got this whole fleet of speedy receivers, and they're just almost impossible to stop. But the zero, that got my attention. And it just so happens last night I was on the phone with Connor Eberhardt, who is one of my favorite players in Class B. The kid is an absolute football stud. And you know, we talked about that zero, and he said, you know, they didn't necessarily go in there thinking they were going to shut Aurora out, but he said, you know, once it was clear that they hadn't scored for a while, they wanted to finish it, and he said that was, you know, very satisfying, as it surely is for all of his teammates, to not only be beating Aurora badly, but to be able to shut them out. And you know, Aurora's a good football team. Aurora's got some good wins under its belt. But, you know, sometimes it just ain't your night. And Northwest took it to them. And as far as what kind of run they can make, you get a little goosey when you talk about a team counting on a passing game. I think Coach Stein would probably be willing to concede that point to a degree. But, man, they're playing at such a high level. I mean, especially if the weather stays good like it did last year for the playoffs. They could be around for a while. It'd be really interesting if you could drop a Northwest into a game with Gretna, just so you could measure that East-West thing a little bit. But the fact of the matter is that we're going to do that here in a couple weeks.
It's right around the corner, and Bob Jensen joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show live from Cunningham's, our Husker Lunch with Sean Callahan coming away at the top of the hour. Come on down, enjoy lunch here today at Cunningham's, and listen to some Husker football talk and get your questions answered as Sean is as close to the program. Bob, we kept mentioning how many good games are this week. Sometimes you just don't give credit where credit's due, but it has to be earned by Grand Island Central Catholic this week. The last couple of weeks, they really haven't blown out teams that you kind of thought maybe that they would blow out since they're undefeated. I mean, I see a lot of the rankings. Kearney Catholic is like 5 or 6, and Grand Island Central Catholic is right behind them. And, you know, it was such an impressive performance by the Stars last week. I think that's where the extreme drop-off is. Central Catholic can change everybody's mind by not only playing Adams Central close, but by beating them.
Oh yeah, it's a great opportunity for Central Catholic. You know, the Central Catholic. You're right. Here's the thing. I want to say something about Kearney Catholic. That was a devastatingly one-sided thumping the other night. And the one thing that you know, Kearney Catholic didn't win that championship game last year in C2. You just wonder. And maybe I'm talking to myself here. What perception would be if they'd won it? If they were the C2 champions and dropped to C1? Whatever, because right now, I mean, based on what they did the other night, and you connect the dots, you got to think that, you know, Kearney Catholic could walk on the field and play with anybody in Class A, and I know, or in Class C1. And I know that sounds kind of funny since they're ranked in the top five, but still, there's some variables in play there, and you don't quite know, and maybe you don't completely. But these guys have been around the block. You know, they've been in a state championship game, and anytime you've got linemen like that, a quarterback that can throw and that kind of speed, you've got a chance to do a lot of damage. As far as Central Catholic goes, a lot of what's going to happen on Friday night, as it has all year, is going to fall on the shoulders of the quarterback, Riley Shoemaker. Now, the good news is, for Central Catholic fans, is he's delivered every week. Riley Shoemaker is one of the best football players in C1. He is a just drop-dead lock to make the All-State team. And maybe that doesn't even do him justice, because the Crusaders count on him to do about everything on offense. If he could throw the ball to himself, I think maybe they would try and work that into the playbook. But the kid is a great athlete. He's fast, and he's got a lot of football savvy. He knows how to play the game. How much that's all going to matter on Friday is up for debate. The first thing that Central Catholic is going to have to do in order to win this game, and I went to a real public school, but I think you'll find that in order to win a game, you need to score. And there hasn't been much of that going on in these Adams Central games. They have completely stymied the opposition. And, Bill Carlin woke up this morning nervous about the football game. You know what? He's going to wake up nervous about the football game tomorrow and the next day, and probably as long as he chooses to coach. But the one thing that should give him some satisfaction and, allow him to get an hour or two of sleep at night is knowing that he's got that defense to count on. And I think, in my mind anyway, that is clearly the difference between the two teams. I think that Adams Central's defense will pretty much rule the roost on Friday. It would be surprising to me if it went down to the late fourth quarter. I think it's a game that Adams Central should win reasonably easy. But anytime you've got an explosive playmaker like Shoemaker on the field, it just takes one missed tackle, and you've given up 6 points. Seven if you make the PAT. So, there's that element. But, man, Adams Central's defense, to me, is one of the great stories in C1 this year.
In some of the smaller classes in D2, great matchup between Shelton and Kennesaw. Both of those two teams have been putting up a lot of numbers. It's a game that we have on 98.9 on Friday night, so there's a little gratuitous self-promotion there. But there's some great offenses when Kennesaw and Shelton get together, and this year anyway, and Shelton's been putting up some points, but so has Kennesaw. How do you see that game?
Well, I'm not from Missouri. Bush, but if I were, this would be time to show me, okay? Because we've seen this play before, okay? Kennesaw and Shelton, both of them undefeated last year when they played. And, Shelton, new kid on the block. Kennesaw's been playing winning football for a long time. Shelton had not. Shelton had hardly made a blip on the postseason radar. And so here they roll into town, all undefeated, all excited. And they just got thrashed. They just got thrashed last year. Now, the good news is they recovered from that, came back, won out in the regular season, and it took triple overtime to knock them out in the playoffs. Well, this team is bigger. It's stronger. It's a year older. It's had Kennesaw on its mind. You know it has. It's had Kennesaw on its mind for 12 months. You put that all in a stew and kind of stir it around. Add just maybe a pinch of Luke Glenn in there, the superstar running back from Shelton, another one of those Riley Shoemaker deals. Turn your back for a minute. He gave up 6 points. Shelton's got a shot. And that sounds kind of weird because Shelton's rated ahead of Kennesaw, but Kennesaw's been there. Like we talked about earlier today, they've been there. They know what it takes to be in a game like this and win it. And, when you've got the Snitchler boys in the backfield, same thing goes. Shelton can't allow a let-up at all, or boom, it's quick points. It'll be kind of interesting to see. To me, it'll be interesting to see what the fourth quarter's like. I'm hoping the game is still meaningful in the fourth quarter. I expect it to be, because these teams, their starters haven't played a lot. I mean, they've won all their games convincingly, the exception being, Kennesaw's loss to Giltner, which also was quite convincing. So you get to the fourth quarter, and you're still expected to go you know, pedal to the metal and be able to, you know, play the game out. And, you know, it's possible that one of those teams will have an upper hand in that fourth quarter for one reason or another. And that could be what it comes down to. I'm hoping it turns out to be a great game. It smells like a great game. It looks like a great game. You know, that little thing about last year is still in the back of my head. I know that. But it will definitely be one of the marquee games in the state, certainly in D2. And whoever wins it, you know, is going to set themselves up nice for those playoffs to start in a couple weeks.
Kennesaw beat everybody in the regular season by 26 or more last year. Kind of amazing. Bob Jensen, just one more minute here with you, and then we'll move on. Where are you headed this week, Bob?
Well, that's still up for debate. I had the greatest trip of the week last week, dude. I finally got to spring a trip out west. I wound up in, well, I won't bore you with all the details, but I was in Litchfield one minute. The next thing I knew, I was in Paxton, and I wound up in North Platte, belly to belly, and I mean that, with Bernie Madison. Bernie got a big win out there. His team beat Lincoln High in overtime. But this week, I think, I don't know. You know, we talked about that Millard North and Westside game really gets me. Kennesaw Shelton really gets me. Possibly Kennesaw and Kearney, maybe, or Shelton and Kearney, something like that.
he's drawing the map as we speak. Last thought, because I saw him play last week, and maybe it was just because of what I had seen already this year, and you graciously mentioned it on your website, and my math skills are okay, but Sutton, I was very impressed with Cole Wiseman and the way that they played against Donovan Trumbull, and both have tests this week. Real briefly, Bob, Donovan Trumbull at St. Cecilia, Sutton hosting Thayer Central. Quick body game.
Well, this game's not nearly as scary for Donovan now that St. Cecilia's lost twice. I think we'd all agree with that. I don't know. I just got a feeling St. Cecilia finds a way to win that game, which sounds a little bit crazy considering what we just talked about. And to confirm your earlier point, the Wiseman kid is legit, and so is Sutton.
Well, Robert, we'll let you get back to your day. Wherever your travels take you, we'll catch up with you again on Friday night on the Scoreboard Show, and next Wednesday as we head in to the final week where we'll start thinking about playoffs and district champs and all that kind of great stuff. So have a great week.
Absolutely, dude. Thanks a lot, boys.
See you, Bob.
See you, Bob Jensen. Huskerland Prep Report joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, our Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth on the road every Wednesday here at Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch. And for Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, and Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, they're moving the 2012s to make room for the 2013s, and that means more deals for you. The parts department at Midway can also take care of your current vehicle. They maintain a comprehensive inventory of high-quality, genuine OEM parts. Their highly knowledgeable staff is there to answer your parts inquiries, and should they not carry a part for which you're searching, they'll order it for you and receive it in a timely manner. They take care of you whether you're purchasing or you're just getting maintenance done on your current vehicle. You can always check things out for great deals every day, every week, online at their Facebook page or thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac in Kearney, South 2nd Avenue. Folks, come on into Cunningham's. Every Wednesday, it's our Husker Lunch. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, that's where we are at right now. Get a great lunch special here at Cunningham's. Sean Callahan is going to be on hand to talk a little Husker football. What happened against Ohio State? Is this the trend? Will this continue? His thoughts on the new athletic director that was introduced yesterday, plus recruits, a little more recruiting news. How does a game like Saturday, Randy, affect recruiting?
You have to think it has an impact, and you hope it's like, you can fix this. You come join us. You can fix it. I think it was very beneficial that when they played at home, one of those night games against Wisconsin, they played pretty well. I mean, they fell behind, sure, but they played pretty well. And when you get those kids on your campus, that was a pretty good opportunity to show off your campus and show off the game environment with a night game like that. So I think, you know, the Wisconsin home game is going to be a pretty good benefit versus the Ohio State away game.
And if you need more incentive, Chuck Dummer signing autographs here today at Cunningham's.
There you go.
As well. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And don't forget, when we come back, a little chat with Sean. We'll take a look at some other sporting news right after this.
Whoa, I'm so tired now.
Tired sucks.
but breast cancer can be devastating. That's why 5-Hour Energy is joining the battle against this dread disease. From now until December 31st, a portion of each sale of new pink lemonade 5-Hour Energy will be donated to the Avon Foundation for Women Breast Cancer Crusade. New pink lemonade 5-Hour Energy. Get the alert, energized feeling you need and support a great cause. Go to 5hourenergy.com for more information.
It's Taste Over at Subway, and we're celebrating with the new Tuscan Chicken Melt, the newest $6 footlong special. Enjoy a harvest of flavor with tender, juicy chicken tossed in zesty herb seasoning, then fresh toasted with melty cheese on your choice of bread. It's topped with balsamic vinaigrette and served up as a $6 footlong special. Savor the season with the new Tuscan Chicken Melt before it's gone. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants, plus applicable tax. Price and participation may vary. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Additional charge for extras.
Saturday on Compass Media Network's coverage of NCAA football, it's the Red River Shootout at the Cotton Bowl as Texas takes on Oklahoma. Hi, I'm Drew Bonadelli. Join Tony Hill and me for all the action as David Ash and the Longhorns renew the rivalry against Landry Jones and the Sooners. Texas, Oklahoma. If it's NCAA football, it's right here.
Texas, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Stanford, South Carolina, LSU. It's your college football triple header Saturday on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunshine develops across the area today as we climb up to 68 for a high. Winds out of the southwest will also be an increase to 10 to 20. Tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head back to a low of 39. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 48.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you here at Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch, and we'll chat with Sean Callahan here in just a few minutes, and then we'll turn him over to the folks here. Come on out. Plenty of room to talk Husker football and talk with Sean. Get your questions answered every Wednesday here at Cunningham's. And, of course, don't forget, you'll also register for the 70-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance and the Super Bowl party at Cunningham's. It's all coming up at the end of the year. You get extra entries by joining us here for our Husker lunches, by taking a shot at us on Fridays for our pigskin pick'em, to which we have rolled, Randy.
You leaned on Langan pretty hard last.
As Jimmy said, we're a team. I had been winning every week. It was time to step aside, let somebody else step up. But that is true. It was Jimmy that carried us on Friday. But if you can beat us this week on our college pick'em, $120 in gift cards to Cunningham's on the line. The pot is built up. It's time for somebody to win so we can start that pot over again.
Pluck it. You'd have a pretty good evening watching football. I was out here, huge crowd for the Husker game the other night, and great food. Had a lot of, you know, even though the TV was in high def and everything, the Huskers still didn't look that good, even though the picture was pretty good on that TV that you can win.
Well, it's all right here at Cunningham's. Don't forget to vote on our poll question yesterday. Which is the better 5-0 team, Texans or Falcons? Randy, your vote?
I even with the injury, I think the Texans are more complete.
We voted for the Falcons. I knew that the Texans would be the choice, and they were, 73% to 27%. I just the Falcons have at least kind of been there before, and I'm still waiting for the Texans to take that next step.
So many of their important players weren't part of that team that went to the Super Bowl umpteen years ago. I mean, yeah, they've been there, but that doesn't mean a whole lot. I always think it's kind of funny to talk about, well, this, you know, it's been 30 years, but this is a program that really knows that. The kids don't know.
Even the players
don't know.
Here's the truth. As good as Arian Foster is, you've got Ben Tate is back up on the injured list right now, and if Owen Daniels is outperforming Andre Johnson, and I have concerns.
There are a little bit of concerns there, but they do it a lot of different ways, though. They have so many weapons. Whoever has the hot hand, whatever you shut down, you squeeze the balloon, something's got to pop out someplace else, and they've got enough weapons that they can find all sorts of different – beat you with the tight end, they can beat you with the wide receiver, they can beat you with the running back, they can beat you with their defense, even their special teams. They have pretty good return game. They're as complete a team as you get in today's modern NFL.
Plus, my brother-in-law's favorite team is the Falcons, and I kind of like him, so I took Atlanta.
Right.
But to our poll question for today, what chance do you give Derek Jeter of breaking Pete Rose's all-time hit record? Now, we discussed this. I think it was maybe even me and you, Randy, but somebody here the other day, we were talking about this. Jeter's 38. He's got 3,304 hits, so basically he needs 950 more hits. He's not going to get 200 a year, and if he did, that's five more years playing till he's 43. So what is his chance? Good chance, slim chance, no chance. I'm pretty good at putting out the no chance.
I am. I'm putting out the no chance. For one thing, he will not play for those small contracts. Remember when he broke the record, when Rose broke the record, he was player manager for the Reds to get a few more hits out there, probably another 100 or so. There's no way that he's going to do that for that kind of pay cut and be that kind of role player that you'd have to be to add enough years onto your career. There's no way.
And I just don't think he's made in the mold to be a designated hitter.
No.
So vote on it now, ESPNSuperStation.com. Gang, I know you're out in the field. We've been talking about this here. Harvest, I can't believe as I drove to St. Paul yesterday how many of the fields are already out and gone. And folks are looking at their checks right now. They're looking at how their year went, and they're going, it could always be better. And folks, if you want it to be better, the folks at TNL Irrigation can help you out. Your choice is simple. By discovering the TNL difference, you'll see your profits increase. It's time to smooth things out by getting a hydrostatically powered TNL pivot irrigation system and discover how they can be easier on you for a lifetime. You make this purchase, it's with you for 25, 30, 40 years. And that's why TNL, which started in the 1950s here in Hastings, Nebraska, has gone worldwide. Every state, 60 countries around the world trust TNL. Why wouldn't you? Contact your local TNL dealer or log on to TLIRR.com. Coming up, baseball this afternoon, triple header. Reds, Giants, who are you pitching today?
We're going with Mike Leake.
And you got a chance?
Oh yeah, he's had ups and downs. I mean, he's no Johnny Cueto, but he's pitched pretty well. He had a little stretch there that he didn't throw the ball real well, but he's been pitching the ball well down the stretch. That's the Reds' strength this year has been defense and their pitching, and they showed that last night, but their lack of hitting.
by everybody yesterday, two pitchers' duels with the Tigers' A's and the Reds' Giants, and they both play later today. Don't forget, here at Cunningham's, we've got room for you to come on in and enjoy our Husker lunch. Sean Callahan on hand. He's live in person to chat with you, so don't miss this opportunity here today at Cunningham's. A couple of other sports notes. Hastings College volleyball team, a winner again last night in four sets over Doan. They're now 18-3. The soccer teams will host Doan tonight, so if you're a soccer fan, go to Lloyd Wilson Field at 5 and 7:30. I think Coach Steinbrück has already left to head over there. Saw a epic match last night in high school volleyball, something I don't think I'd ever seen. A high school match that I was calling go to 24-22 in the fifth set, and this is one of those that's in the conference. You know you need these wins for wild card points, and Kearney Catholic swept out St. Paul, and then Wood River, they were up 2-0 on Ord, who may be the best five-set team in the conference or even the state, and Peg Heist, the coach, even acknowledged that. And Ord won sets 3 and 4, and they were tied in the fifth set at every point between 7 and 22. You only play to 15 and win by 2, but there was a tie at every single point from 7 until 22, and Wood River got the last 2 points.
You love to see those kind of battles, you know, that because you know people are digging deep. And they just reach for that extra level. Somebody's got to step up and make a play, and you don't want to let your teammates down. that really is what high school sports and college sports and sports in general is what it's all about. You don't want to disappoint those other people. You play hard for the people that surround you. That had to be a lot of fun to see.
Well, and tomorrow night, Kearney Catholic and Wood River will play in the championship, or St. Paul in the consolation game in St. Paul, starting at 6, live on 98.9 FM and PlatteRiverPreps.com. The podcast of all our games are up, photos as well. In the Fort Kearney Conference Tournament, they play the best of three, and they both went the distance. Overton clipped Elwood, and Elm Creek got by Axtell. They'll play their championship tomorrow. All the sports are now getting close to their postseason. State softball is underway. Class A is going on right now in Hastings at 12:30. Class B begin their games. Class C at 3 o'clock this afternoon in the double elimination. You've got state tennis tomorrow. You've got district cross country for every class, every school tomorrow. Metal Arc Hills is hosting, where Kearney and Grand Island will be running. And then state golf wrapped up yesterday. You get a little advantage playing on your home course, and Norfolk took advantage to win the Class A girls by 12 shots over Lincoln Pius the 10th. Grand Island finished in third. Hastings was 12th. They were paced by Laura Licking. Grand Island had three medalists, led by a fourth place finish from Tori Pierce. Elkhorn South won B. McCook was the runner-up. Adams Central finished in 10th. And Grand Island Central Catholic able to win Class C yesterday by 5 shots over Ogallala. That was the closest team race out there, and they had to go to a playoff for the individual championship. McKenna Keim of Central Catholic was able to win that. So congratulations to the Crusaders bringing home the title.
And it's interesting how all this kind of ties up. I was in Cozad last week, and they were talking about the fact that their softball team had to play in the snow in McCook for a little while in the district tournament. So it is probably time to start wrapping things up. But it got here quick. It just seemed like just the other day, we were talking about how our team is going to be. Now that we got a little bit of an idea, and I mean just a little bit of an idea of how teams are going to be in their various sports, we're wrapping up the season. It's going awful fast.
They were true, and they are, you know, the sage elders of mine. Time flies faster the older you get.
No doubt.
I'm starting to figure that out. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and Sean Callahan's going to join us. We're live at Husker Lunch here at Cunningham's. Come on in and join us for lunch today. Enjoy anything on the menu, the wing special today, and we'll talk a little Husker football with Sean right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
IBM System X, x86 servers, and the midsize company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
In the nation, trees fall, traffic lights fail, ceilings come down, and brakes lock up. And when the you-know-what hits the fan, Nationwide Insurance hits the ground running. Because you're not just our first priority, you're our only priority. We put members first because we don't have shareholders. Call 1-877-NATIONWIDE today.
Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio, subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Hey, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar & Grill, Hastings' hometown Husker headquarters. Whenever the Huskers play, you get our 24-ounce big cans of beer for just $2.50 all day, every game day. And with NFL Sunday Ticket and ESPN Game Day, you have a front-row seat for every NFL and college game. So bring the family and join your fellow Husker fans and watch the Huskers on the biggest HD TV wall in town, HK Sports Bar & Grill. Remember, text HKVIP to 90210 for even better offers and bigger discounts.
Breaking ball on the ground at third. Evan has it. Spins. Now fires across. Braves win!
The division championships. The ALCS. The NLCS.
The pitch swung on, hit high in the air to right field. This is well hit. Pence is back at the track.
Hear the best of them on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. 1460 and 1550.
Action begins today at 3 with the Reds Giants, followed by the Orioles Yankees and Tigers A's. It's a baseball tripleheader on ESPN Radio.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation at Cunningham's, home of the Husker Lunch every Wednesday, as Sean Callahan will be chatting with the folks that show up here at Cunningham's, and we invite you to join us here at Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch today, talking Ohio State, answering some questions, talking a lot of recruiting, previewing what's still to come, because Northwestern and Michigan are the next two opponents who run a spread offense, a variation of what we've seen with UCLA and Ohio State, Randy, that didn't fare so well for Big Red.
There was a little period that they shut them down, and you kind of hope that Nebraska's defense is the defense they saw in the first quarter and not the one we saw in the third.
Sean Callahan, Husker Online, joins us, and Sean, you got that bye week to kind of let everything settle in. The new AD rolls in. Let me ask you a question that most people, I guess, have been asking everybody across the state that's doing anything in the media. What changed on Saturday night? Nebraska actually looked pretty good. I thought they handled that momentum and that adrenaline that Ohio State brought out in that first quarter in front of their 105,000-plus fans, and they had the lead. And it wasn't so much that the offense slowed down. It did because it created turnovers. What changed that Ohio State just ran them over?
I mean, I thought Blake Lawrence on Big Red Wrap-Up last night really hit on it good. I mean, just adjustments. Urban Meyer kind of fell it out Bo Pelini and how he was going to defend him. And once he saw the scheme and what Nebraska wanted to do, he made a couple of adjustments and was able to get Nebraska's defense to really kind of crash hard, which opened up those huge running lanes for Braxton Miller. And Bo failed to make the adjustment back. And, I don't know. That's probably the best way to describe it. I mean, I thought Urban Meyer really used the first quarter to kind of feel out Bo Pelini before he made his adjustments.
My response was, and I think it's going to be unfair on Bo, because this whole adjustment thing came up under the previous regime that Nebraska didn't make adjustments at halftime. I said, I don't know how many adjustments Nebraska felt they needed to make at halftime of this football game. You started to see a little bit of it right towards halftime. It was more, as you said, making the adjustments on the fly in the third quarter. Has this been a thorn for Bo? I mean, because we've seen it a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Ohio State's offense. I mean, Hyde, the running back, was running it so well that you had to watch him. And then Braxton Miller, you had two guys that could hurt you there. And you can't really – I mean, that's hard to defend when the running back and the quarterback are going to both run for over 100 yards. You can't just say, we don't need to worry about Hyde. We can just worry about Miller. Well, Hyde runs for – had, what, 30 carries for – 140 yards, and Miller had 190 some yards or whatever it finished up with. They couldn't just say we need to shut down this guy because the other guy was going to hurt him just as bad. And what has been the problem for Bo Pelini is the mobile quarterbacks. And I had talked to somebody this week about that. And if anything, I think his defense is almost more geared to pro style offense. It's an NFL style system that when they play a pro style offense, it completely does its job. But it's not as geared for the spread offenses with the mobile quarterbacks. Yeah. I mean, they can handle spread offenses with quarterbacks that aren't going to run 4.4 40s, but you can't scheme for a quarterback that runs a 4.4 40. No matter the call, the play you have, you need athletes to stop that type of guy in the open field.
Just to kind of follow that up, it seemed very famously, Tom Osborne changed his defensive scheme and kind of the players they tried to recruit based on what they kept running into with the speed game when we played the Miamis and the Floridas of the world. Is there going to be maybe a change of direction that Nebraska might do defensively, or the kind of athlete that they try to recruit to try to get those black shirts back and then kind of pick up the defense?
Yeah, I think that's what they're figuring out right now. It's been really quiet around North Stadium this week. Have not heard much at all from anybody. The coaches did not go out on the road recruiting. Which is very, usually after when you have your bye week, you spend Monday, Tuesday recruiting, and then you have practice Wednesday, Thursday, which they're going to do today. Then you go out and even recruit again on Friday. So they have not gone out and recruited yet this week at all. And I think a lot of that has to do with Bo trying to figure out what's wrong, trying to get it fixed going forward, because it's that important to him right now, which to not go out and do any recruiting at this point on the bye week is rare, because you're not going to have another week to go out and recruit until December. And some of these guys, like junior college guys, you need to go out there and show your face. I mean, like yesterday, Penn State was in Omaha at Iowa Western, and they offered a quarterback out there. I mean, that's what you do on your bye week. You have to go out to these junior college practices and high school practices and make new offers and try to get more visitors in. And they did not do that early this week. They're still, they're trying to figure out what the heck's going on right now.
Shai Callahan with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show just for another minute. Then we'll chat here at Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch. Come on in and join us. Plenty of time. We're here for the next hour. And Sean, I don't want to use the word blame. I just think it's something with the new coordinators. How much of this is having John Papuchis first time, Tim Beck still second time, second year as a coordinator with these adjustments and with just kind of still learning their roles?
Well, I think in some ways, you know, guys like Marvin Sanders and Carl Pellini, they were so valuable because they were both basically coordinators. Marvin Sanders was a coordinator in North Carolina. Carl Pellini had been a coordinator. He was the coordinator for Bo. And they were two guys that could kind of put Bo in his place a little bit more because they had been with him. And JP can too. JP's been with them for a long time. But let's not kid ourselves. Bo calls the defense. It's his deal. I mean, he makes the calls on the defense. It's his system that he puts in. JP installs the defense Bo wants. You know, and during the game, Bo is the guy that dials up the blitzes and decides how they want to do things. So you can't really say it's JP's fault because really the defense is Bo. I think the offense – you have to find that happy medium of tempo, you know, especially on the road. They have problems maintaining that tempo that they want. And, you know, once it runs flat, it affects everybody on the team, the defense and everything else. So I think that's been the biggest problem with the defense for the offense for Nebraska is the consistency. They're so big play oriented that they haven't been as consistent of just grinding out 5-6 yard gains every play. It's touchdown or bust type of deal.
I was trying to decide on a couple of different questions, and you kind of nudged me toward the direction of this one. And that is, when Pellini was hired, you know, a lot of the criticism about the energy and you know, just it's different being a coordinator versus being the head coach in terms of how your demeanor is with the fans, with the media, with the team, and all that stuff. How do you see that evolution of that? And I don't want to call it maturity because that's the wrong word to use here. But how has that evolution gone with Coach Pellini? How do you kind of see that process? Do you see a difference this year versus years past?
You mean from going from a coordinator to a head coach?
Yeah, in terms of kind of acting more like a head coach and that kind of demeanor.
I think so to an extent. I mean, he's never going to be the polished media coach. I mean, that's just not his personality. I mean, he's the Youngstown, Ohio, tough, tough guy. You know, that's his deal. And you know, he's never going to be, you know, trying to give an example of a guy that would be a good media coach, like a Mac Brown.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really tell a guy to be different than what he is. But, I mean, for the most part, he understands things. I mean, he's gotten better to deal with after losses. I mean, you listen to the post-game press conference. He was, a couple years ago, a loss like that, you wouldn't even be able to talk to him, you know, and at least he addresses stuff and talks about it better after a loss. Now, we don't get any access right now, it looks like, for the bye week, so we won't have any – you know, he doesn't want us around this week because obviously they're trying to figure out what's going on and whatnot. I mean, we may still get access, but I don't think we are going to get any from what I can gather.
Well, Sean, if folks want to hear more from you, come on down to Cunningham's, enjoy some lunch here over the next half hour, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sean.
Sean Callahan from Husker Online. That's going to wrap things up for our portion of the afternoon here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk with Grand Island Northwest head football coach Kevin Stein. Luke Hoover will be in to answer all your fantasy football questions from RotoWire. So go ahead and email or Facebook us your questions as there's more bye weeks and less and less people to pick up on the waiver wires. All you have to do is email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. I want to thank Lucas Darb from the UNK Alumni Foundation for talking a little Loper Sports with us, Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep Report, and, of course, Sean Callahan from Husker Online. And, Randy, good luck to your Reds today.
They, I'm afraid, are going to need it a little bit, but we'll go with Leak, I guess.
Come on down. Have some lunch at Cunningham's. Our Husker Lunch brought to you by Cunningham's Journal, Home Federal, and Graham Tire. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.